When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Marvel Movie Talk, exclusively right here on Geekscape. As always, I am Christian Blatt, joined today for the moment only by the great Andy Smith, artist Andy Smith at Andy Smith Art. And Andy, thank you so much. I know that we've talked to you on this show. I've been on your show. You've been on the Blackcast. Always great to chat with you. And let people know where they can find you. I want to make sure that we get the plugs at the top of the show. We don't want to keep people hanging on, you know.
I get it.
Know where they should subscribe as we go along.
So at Andy Smith Art, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook is Andy Smith Cartoonist, I believe. You'll find my page. And in YouTube, I believe, is Andy Smith Comic Book Artist. You'll see the channel because it's me. And it's comic book art and stuff. You know, I put up videos of drawing and talk about stuff and whatnot. So there's where you can find me.
Right. Absolutely. And we are, of course, going to talk about Loki. And there's also a very interesting Variety article about Marvel that we are going to speak about. Glad to see our friends in the chat. Craig Robinson checking in from across the pond. Kame Egan from Chicagoland. And, of course, the great Daniel Drew. Intriguing episode. I was wondering if we'd ever get Loki being the god of stories, like in the comics for the past few years. It seems that way. And yes, I'm glad you mentioned, I forgot to tease at the top of the show. This is why I don't know if I can do a show without Daniel Drew in the chat. I have had to a few times, and I don't think I'm as well prepared. They did drop a trailer for Echo. We will talk about that a little bit later in the show. We will start off talking about Loki in a moment, but I wanted to talk about how it was just Halloween. Now, Andy, I know your daughter's older, so it's not the, you know, so the days are long behind of trick-or-treating and costumes and all of that.
Well, she still dresses up to give out candy.
Right. So. And our buddy David Brody, your kids are older, too. So Halloween isn't about the trick-or-treating for you, David, is it?
It is for me. I go out and get free candy.
That's brilliant. You know, there was a lot of those memes going around that. Yeah. If the teenager shows up trick-or-treating this year, don't make fun of them. Just give them candy because they could be doing so much worse. And I'm like, all right, I always have too much candy anyway, so whatever, it's fine. And let's extend that to hosts of podcasts who go door-to-door. Of course, our pal David Brody of the Brooklyn Boys. David, with us this week is Andy Smith. Andy, David. David, Andy.
Hello, Andy.
Happy to bring people together. Because it is not Marvel based, but I will have something amazing to share with everybody, but I wanted to show everybody, my wife and I, we did a joint costume that people didn't figure out right away. You had to think all the way back to July of this year. We were not Barbie and Ken, anybody who suggested that to me, I'm like, what Ken do I look like? You know, director Ken. We were, of course, Barbenheimer, the phenomenon that was taking over the world, you know, people going to see both movies. And, you know, it's also any time where if we're doing Halloween and all I need to do is just, you know, go to get a thrift store hat and I don't have to buy anything. My wife was happy to buy that Barbie outfit. But I share that just to personalize it for relevance on this show. I need to show this amazing family photo that my friend Angie, who lives up in Northern California, this family photo, oh, it wins because everyone in the family participated in this.
Holy crap.
Great Guardians of the Galaxy. Wow. That's my friend Angie as Gamora. And that's her husband as Star-Lord. Of course, they've got a Groot. Of course, they've got a Rocket. But let's, of course, not ignore Cosmo. Represented.
Yes.
And I asked her, I wrote to her on Facebook and I was like, it's okay if you don't want me to, but I would love to share this on my Marvel show. You know, the kids have masks on, the dog's identity has been changed to protect the innocent. But I don't know what Andy and David, I mean, come on. It's hard to not love a great Guardians of the Galaxy team family photo, right?
Amazing. Although I can't tell if that's. Go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Is that Gamora that likes Star-Lord or Gamora that doesn't? Which Gamora is that?
I haven't been in a room with her husband in a while, so I think though that this is the Gamora that likes Star-Lord.
Very good.
It's a great question. Yeah. Anyway, very excited looking forward to sharing that. Oh, it looks like Andy's got something for us.
I shared a screen. So, yeah. You know, I do my show with my buddy Dennis on Wednesday, but we did a special Tuesday episode for Halloween, and I think you can tell who we were. So I screen capped it while we were doing the show, since he usually Batman comes over here.
Be Batman and Robin. That's a fantastic Gilligan and the Skipper for our audio audience. You'll have to check out the video to see Angie's photo and, of course, Andy and Dennis. And you do a podcast with your buddy Dennis. I've been on with you guys a couple times, I believe.
Yeah.
Let everybody know where they can find that, Andy.
YouTube channel. Once again, we stream it on both our channels at the same time. So you can search Dennis and Andy Show on YouTube and find it, or Andy Smith, comic book artist, and find it as well. I would recommend subscribing to both channels because Dennis does comic book reviews and flip throughs of new stuff that came out the week and whatnot.
And
so,
and anytime that he does a video, you know, one of the times that I had the chance to talk with Andy, where he brought out his X-Men number one, and I'm not talking about the Jim Lee X-Men number one, I'm talking about the original Stan and Jack X-Men number one, which he got Stan to sign. So, you want to talk about Holy Grail of collecting. In any case, Andy, this is the first time you've been with us to talk Loki. So we'll dive into this episode in a moment, but take a minute and just your thoughts on the season so far, the four episodes heading into what we're going to cover this week, episode 5.
This is the first show where every week, you know how they do the recap? And most people, I assume, because this is what I do with every other show, I go, skip, I don't need it. I need the recap. This thing is very confusing to me. I'm just like, man, I don't, you know, time stuff is confusing as it is. And this show is rather confusing as well. I like it. I like Tom Hiddleston. I think he does a great job. Owen Wilson is Owen Wilson and everything.
Yeah. Right. I'll just interject. You hire Owen Wilson so that he brings exactly this presence to your show or movie. And if you didn't want that, you should not have hired him, you know, but I think he's perfect. He's a perfect fit for this show.
He is. And they have great chemistry together, you know? So I think that works really well. I'm just curious, I guess in the broad scheme of things, I know they're trying to work up to the whole Kang Dynasty or whatever, Kang the Conqueror stuff for the next Avengers movie. And I know this is a piece of it, but I think one of the problems is, and I'm sure COVID had something to do with it, but it's so long from when season one was out that I got to be honest, I was kind of like, do I want to watch it? But my daughter is still really full force into the stuff. She's like, we got to watch it. I'm like, okay, that's all the reason I need, you know, gives us something to do together.
Yeah.
So, even though it's kind of confusing to me with the time stuff and exactly what's going on with the TVA, it is a mystery, and I like mysteries, and I'm assuming in the season finale next week, they'll try to put a nice bow on things and wrap everything up, and I don't say get it back to the status quo of the TVA. Maybe they do, but I'm just interested to see where it goes. But I just think with what they're trying to work towards, and I know we're going to talk about that Variety article later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who knows? who knows? Because I like the actor that plays Kang. I mean, his name is
Jonathan Majors. Yeah.
Jonathan Majors, yes.
Well, and then the interesting thing is, you know, we've gotten him on this season of the series as Victor Timely. Previous season, he was He Who Remains. He's Kang in Quantumania. So we've gotten to see three very different takes on, you know, essentially the same character, but there's obviously variants and different iterations on it. And yeah, I think it's definitely quite a situation that Marvel finds themselves in. They're definitely at a crossroads, and that's very much what that article was about. Yeah. Let's start talking about this episode, David. I did see a Facebook post from you, but I'll pretend I don't know what you thought. So tell our audience, though, what you thought of this fifth episode of Loki season two.
Well, like Andy, I didn't hit the skip recap button, but for a different reason. I didn't hit it because I'm enjoying the show so much. I wanted to make sure that I saw the scenes again. And, you know, sometimes in the recap, they put something that was minutia, but it's pertinent to the episode. So yeah. I didn't want to miss a thing because there's so much going on. I won't say I was confused by the time travel. I will say I was a little at the beginning, but then it started to make sense once he got a grasp of the time jumping that he was doing. And I thought the ending was spectacular, the way they brought it right back to that moment where the explosion happened, and now he was able to. And so I had read some things online that he would sort of become He Who Remains-esque, right, in terms of his power. I didn't read too much into it, but it looks like he may have that ability. He may have the ability to rewrite history if he doesn't mess it up.
And so you know about Loki?
Yeah, Loki.
Okay, yeah.
So I love the episode. I mean, we can break it down a little more, but overall, really, really enjoyed it. Really enjoying the season. And yes, there was a huge gap between seasons one and two, but the beauty of streaming is I was able to go back and watch it more recently, unlike network television, where if they don't rerun the episodes, you're screwed. So a big gap, but yeah.
And by the way, let me address something here in the chat. Craig Robinson, disappointed we're going to miss out on David's special segment, guessing Michael's favorite scene. I would have gone for the point where it looked like everyone was blipped out at the end. No, we're still going to play America's favorite game. I have Michael's answer. He sent me an audio file that I haven't listened to.
Fantastic.
I have a guess from Eric Connor. I have a guess from Nate Miller. So everybody wants to play America's favorite game. And Andy, while you have been on an episode of my show with my co-host, Michael Shirley, I know you don't know him well enough to be able to play our game. But basically, just to bring you up to speed, the short of it is that he hates Tom Hiddleston. So he hates Loki. And he hates this show. But we, thanks to Mr. Brody, we've developed a game where each week we try to figure out one thing that he liked. And, you know, we made a ground rule early on that it couldn't be, when it's over. It can't just be the end credits that it means that it's over. So in a little bit, we'll talk some more about the episode. But don't worry, because everyone in the audience who's wondering, we will get to play America's favorite new game show. What did Michael X. Shirley like?
Yes.
But that'll be coming up soon, but not now. In any case, I wanted to kind of get some of Andy's thoughts about this episode. But first, I was thinking as it was sort of unfolding, it was one of the things that I thought we might get the way that episode four ending. And I know that it can be a very divisive thing to invoke the show Lost. But in the moment when it was happening, there were things that we were pretty excited about. And this did have that feel of one of those, not quite at the end when a lot of people, you know, lost faith in it. But the sort of mid seasons where you're like, wait, what the hell is going on? When you'd be seeing like sort of sideways realities where like you're in the character, but they're cops together. I don't even understand. So I thought that was kind of cool that Loki was popping around and we were seeing these people in their real lives. Yeah. And not a surprise that Mobius was selling jet skis, but I thought that was fun. But David, that did poke a hole in my thought, was that the last image of the show is going to be, and maybe it still will be, but Mobius riding off on a jet ski. Now we've already seen him on the jet ski, so I don't even know that I want it.
But not in the water. We still need to see him in the water with the real water splashing in his face.
It's a great point. Yeah. We still haven't gotten the full realization. What did you think of this episode in particular, though, Andy?
Oh, I actually like this one. For the same reasons you mentioned, I love seeing actors kind of act differently. Once again, everybody basically did it except for Owen Wilson when he was the salesman, because that's just him. But you know, the woman that was the nurse and the other characters, I like that part of it. I love it when Loki is jumping around and he's just all contorted with the, you know, the effect that they do. One of my favorite scenes was when he popped in to the TVA and he walked in on himself looking at the manual and he's like, hello. Yeah. And then he blinks out and then he blinks in again and he walks in and you don't see him. And you're like, oh my God, I know exactly what this is. This is the before where he walks in and picks up the manual. And that's what it was. I just thought that was great.
Yeah, they definitely did some very cool time bendy sort of things. And I like that he was far enough away from himself that he didn't go like, oh, that's me, you know, and it was they definitely did some cool reveals. And I'm sorry, what were you going to say, David?
Oh, I thought he was going to say his favorite scene was when he popped back in and he was wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. You know,
that was good.
That was actually really good.
That was hilarious.
That was a great moment. But speaking of looking at himself, they haven't addressed when he pruned himself, right? Yes. I didn't miss that last night. They have not addressed that yet. So, but
no,
I
because
guess it was
the,
similar.
But the impression that we were given is that by being pruned, you end up sort of at the end of time, you know? So I think that he sent that Loki, but I don't know because this Loki is time slipping. And this Loki is, of course, not the Thor Ragnarok Loki, you know? So there's so many Lokis in our head. He's not Alligator Loki. You know, it's not easy to keep all of our Lokis straight, but you know, it's definitely I don't know, it's definitely fun to kind of watch, you know, just sort of this idea of putting, well, the band back together, and I liked Sylvie kind of calling him on it, you know, that it was like, well, you're just lonely, you know. I thought that was interesting.
And how about the fact that Casey's a criminal who escaped from Alcatraz?
Yeah, I like that.
That was another one. I was, as soon as he woke up, as soon as they as soon as they showed the dummy face on the cot in the cell, I was like, Alcatraz? Are you, what are they doing? And then when they showed it, I was like, oh my God. My daughter, though, who's 20, is like, that just went right over. No, nothing. You know, she has no idea. But I thought that was great. And especially when he shows up on the beach right before they try to take off and stuff into the water.
But your name was Frank. I'm not Casey.
In the chat, Ivan Soto says, you guys honestly think Moby on the jet ski was a happy reveal. It was a happy reveal for us. But Ivan goes on to say, Mobius was obviously unhappy in that life. Just because he had jet skis around him doesn't change that. Ivan, I think that's spoken like somebody that's never had the joy of being on a jet ski. I think it goes a long way. Daniel pipes in that he was just going to either one branch timeline with all of them, that one branch or each of their own branch timeline. I think that that's exactly what he was doing. But I thought that the interesting thing was that OB was just like, no, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, the good setup was that he was a sci-fi author. And I love that move, trying to buy his own book. At the
I love store. That move. Are you kidding me? She's trying to scan it. And I'm like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah. And he's like, wait a minute, I've done that with comics. I brought my books into a comic shop and been like, I'm just trying to buy this Andy Smith art collection. I don't know. It just looked good.
I did buy something of mine once. I had a Mets CD that was for sale at Shea Stadium at the time. And I went into the store and I bought it because, you know, I wanted to help sales. And also I wanted someone to buy it. So I did it, but there I didn't plant it. I didn't plant it there, but it was there officially, but I still bought my own CD.
But it was, it was actually for sale. See, that's the difference.
Yes. Yeah. That was close. Yeah.
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 Yeah, exactly. And Ivan Soto does chime in. OB being a conspiracy theorist makes perfect sense. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I thought it was interesting to kind of watch everything get sort of put back together, convincing everybody. It's like, well, you have to, there's this big threat. We'll put you back to the moment where we took you from, which, you know, I wouldn't promise that, just knowing the way that these things can really work out. But was anybody's interaction in their branched timeline, sort of, you know, non-TVA version, was any of them particularly surprising to you? I'll ask you first, Andy.
Let's see. We had a nerd. Well, yeah. I mean, the escape from Alcatraz was probably the most surprising one.
Agreed.
You know, the nurse wasn't really surprising. The sci-fi author and scientist, you know, not surprising at all. That one definitely wasn't. You know, Owen Wilson, you could kind of guess it. And then, you know, the other Loki. I'm so bad with names. That's why I just refer to him the way I am. We already knew she worked at McDonald's. No, not really. One of the things that did surprise me, though, was when he finally makes the device, the portal through, you know, the big orange rectangle.
Yeah.
And Loki was like, well, that was fast. And he said something about 18 months. I guess my only thing was, so current technology, you could make that. That's kind of cool. Even though it took him 18 months, it's still
even though it took that long for him to actually make it. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that moment up because it was something that our friend Eric Connor highlighted because OB says I had to take a break and move out when I lost my job and my wife left me. And because we're focusing on that moment where OB comes out and he's created the device, that was Eric's guess for the moment in the show that Michael Shirley liked, because it's pain and suffering for a character, I guess. You know, Eric didn't give me an explanation. He just sent me the screen grab. And did you have something in mind, David, that you specifically thought would have been Michael's moment? Perhaps it's something we haven't talked about yet, but either way, what comes to mind when you think of that?
Well, I personally liked the wacky waving moment, but I think that was too jocular for Michael. So I have it narrowed down. I thought when Loki kept failing to time slip. He loves when Loki fails. And Loki kept trying and trying and trying. But I settled on Mobius's son burning his own toys and running away with the matches.
Honestly,
Michael, Yeah,
that's a good one. No, that's a good one. Nate thought that this moment when Sylvie's in the record listening booth with the sort of, you know, that vermicelli effect, that was Nate's thought. You know, I think that I think that the moment when Sylvie almost dies is when Michael was ready to be excited. You know, this vermicelli effect is getting there. And that guy basically saves her so she can open the door. But then the fact that she just walks through the door and then it happens and he's like, oh, all right. I think it's when Loki admits that he doesn't have any friends and he wants to
have friends. That's a good one.
Yeah. And that's the Michael Shirley that I know and love. I think that that's what he's going to say. So, now I'm going to try to share the audio file. I feel like what's going to end up happening is I'm going to have to play the message into my microphone, but I'm going to try and do it a little bit more professionally than that to begin with. As we play, what did Michael Shirley like? Anybody in the chat who wants to play along, even if the message comes up after we get the reveal, go ahead and tell us what you think Michael might have liked. But I'm gonna give it the old college try, and I'm gonna try and play the audio file of it. You guys, let me know if you hear it. We won't hear him right away. There's a little bit of a pause, I think. I have not listened to this. I just made sure that there was actually audio on it, okay? So, okay, did you guys hear him say I liked?
No, I didn't hear anything.
Okay, so it didn't work? All right. That's why I'll pivot. I didn't have quite enough time to prepare, but I'm just going to go ahead and play it. This is a very low rent, but you know, I think that's what people come here for.
Yeah.
I liked when Ouroboros tried to buy his own book in the bookstore.
You know, that is a moment of pain and suffering. That is a great moment. We referenced that moment, and that is the proof that I didn't listen to that because,
he doesn't hate OB though. Damn it.
Yeah. Well, no, he hates everything. He hates the show. So
but not as much as he hates Loki.
Right.
And Ivan Soto says this isn't fun at all. Agree to disagree, my friend. You know, look, look, when you have a built-in bit, when you have a poster that goes with it, I think, you know, you just keep on going, but quite all right. Sorry that, you didn't get to play, Andy, but, you know, okay. I think isolating moments that, people might dislike, can definitely be fun, but in general, I am really enjoying the show. And to David Brody's point, there is the idea that when you see, like, the runtime on this one was a little bit less than the last few weeks. It was like, mm-hmm. I don't know, 47 minutes. And you know, like, five of those minutes are like voiceover for the Czech actors and, you know, that stuff at the end. So you're like, all right, it's not really that much. I figure next week we are going to get a mid or end credit scene. Because
I would imagine so. I'd like to think so. Yeah.
And we we did like a round robin and we talked about this last week. Andy, do you think this story ends with next week's episode, or do you think they're going to try to squeeze one more season in before we get to an actual Kang movie? So do you think at the end of next week's episode, it'll say, stay tuned for season 3?
Ooh, I'm going to go out and say, I'm trying to think of the ratings for all the other stuff compared to this one. You know, yeah. I'll go out on a limb because I think this is one of the better shows that they're doing. So I'll say there will be a season 3, partly because I know for the movie they're looking, I guess, at 2026. So that's, you know,
yeah.
I could see them trying to squeeze another season into it.
Especially as we'll talk about when we talk about the Variety article, there is always the potential for having to pivot and make a little shift on what happens next. So they might need to spin their wheels for another season. But I enjoy the show. I would welcome another season, but boy, they got to pay it off at the end of that. Like, the fact that the first season wasn't the end of the story and we got another one, it was okay. Eventually, I'm going to want the end. And where did you come down on this last week, David? You felt like it's going to end next week, right? Or am I misremembering that?
I thought it would end only because they filmed it, I believe, when the next Avengers movie was originally slated for 24 or 25.
Right.
And I think now with the pushback of the Avengers movie, maybe they do a 1-hour Marvel special presentation where they get a little more material in. I would love another season, but because this was written to lead into the movie, I think they wrote it to end into the movie. Unless they do some kind of side story, like if they do a prequel or they show another timeline, or, you know, if they go off this story to show, I think they can get away with some more material. But I don't think you can continue this one because I think they wrote it at a time when they thought it would go right into the movie.
Yeah, I think Kang Dynasty was supposed to start filming early 2024, but that was even before the writer's strike. So I think that you know, the decision for a third season of Loki could even be something that was made more recently. I think that will all come to light. And, you know, while I was showing so many images before, David, I wanted to make sure you knew that our buddy Eric actually created one of our show posters that features you in it with a very unique Miss Minutes, who apparently also enjoys pain and suffering. Mr. Minutes.
That's right.
But in any case, I think I'm really interested to see sort of, you know, it is an interesting moment because this episode resets us right to the back and the very last moment of episode 4, but you need all this in between. You can't skip it because you have to understand. So we're going to finally see what happens basically right before that. And I think it'll take us on into the Kang Dynasty, but there's definitely a case to be made that they will want to do more. I think this is the show that universally is the best received. Even WandaVision was the best received when it started. I think by the time it ended, it had somewhat diminishing returns. Cammy Egan has a point. Since Disney is cutting down on content, wanting quality over quantity, I hope Kevin Feige gains more control over the MCU with a heavy influence over the films and shows. I think that the recent MCU track record, which we'll talk about momentarily, means less control for Feige, not more. I think Bob Iger coming back to Disney means less control for Feige, not more. I believe that, what was the guy's name? Chapek, the guy that was in charge, and, you know, they ran rampant with the idea that they would have either a superhero movie or a superhero TV series, a Marvel series or TV show at all times. I think that the, you know, I think it's definitely an about face. It's some of the slowdown. A lot of the content that we thought we would have gotten already in terms of the Disney Plus stuff, we haven't seen. Right. And we'll talk a little bit about that. So let's look ahead to next week. Andy, what do you think we're going to get? Whether we get an end to the story or a see in season three, what do you think are some of the key points as your brain starts turning now that Loki's able to kind of control his time slips and bring himself to the point he wanted to be in? What do you think is likely to happen?
So this one ends with him getting back before the, you know, explosion, whatever.
Yes.
Is it before? Is when he got back at the end of this episode five, is it before, I'm just going to call him Kang. Kang went out and, you know, kind of away.
I don't know. Do you agree, David? Do you think that that's where he is? He's before Kang went out?
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
it looked like they were looking at something. So when he pops back, he and OB are looking like, so maybe he warns Victor Timely not to go out there.
That's what I'm thinking, is because you got to pull that actor and the character back in.
Right.
So, you know, to branch off that, I think he will probably stop him. But beyond that, I honestly don't know. I mean, that's the thing with this show, is I don't know. Some of the other shows I could kind of predict some, but this one, man, I don't really know.
If Loki can time jump.
Yeah,
and also,
no. Go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say,
go ahead, Dave.
And teleport, maybe he can teleport and time jump right to the green button, hit it, and then get out. Like, he doesn't have to walk. Yeah. You know, he might be able to nightcrawler it.
Yeah. Invoking Kurt Wagner is always a way straight to my heart, but I agree that I would be interested to see that. I mean, if he's able to, you know, pinpoint his jumps basically in time, space, and dimensions, he should be able to go a few feet, you know, beyond where he needs to be. So I think it'll be very interesting to see how it unfolds. And Daniel Drew, of course, gives the official Nightcrawler shout out.
Yes.
You know, Andy, I should have asked you this in an email when we set up you coming on. Have you had an opportunity to do any artwork that involves Loki? Have you ever professionally drawn the character? Yeah. Maybe just drawn him for fun, or
I think I drew him at the end of a issue of Deadpool I helped out on 20 some years ago, late 90s. Okay. I did work on the children's book adaptations of a few of the Avengers and Thor books, you know, based on the movies that Disney did. So I know Loki was in there because I remember working on them. So
yeah. So not an extensive work, but you definitely drawn them once. What do you think is the, you know, I mean, I think that the, our normal co-host, Michael Shirley notwithstanding, I think the appeal to Loki, the on-screen version, really is that quintessential, you know, the villain you love to hate and then maybe hate to love as well. I think when he's done well, you know, I always point to, there's a, in the X-Men as Guardian Wars crossover event which Art Adams drew going back 35 years, somewhere in there. There's a point where the character Karma, one of the new mutants, has become obese because she was possessed by the Shadow King. And just he ate anything and everything he wanted to while he was inhabiting her. And in that story, she gets lost in the desert and spends weeks, months, you know, getting back to civilization. And in part of that, she's no longer obese and unhealthy. And Loki even says to her, it's like, I'm going to reset everything back to the way it was. except you. Not even I'm that cruel, you know? So there's the moment where he's like, I can't do that to her. That's, you know, like she fought so hard to get out of that desert. So I always think it's interesting with Loki, you know, that yes, of course he is a villain, you know, but
he is, but he just has this arc. And I think it's kind of hard to go. It'll be hard to get him back to that villainous type of mischievous because he is growing. And kind of like Obi said, you know, you're lonely and stuff, and you kind of feel for him. Yeah. So if they ever do something with him where he goes villainy again, it'll just be kind of like, but didn't you learn anything? Or you did, and you're like, but that's just not me. I can't, you know?
Well, this Loki was the moment where if they wanted to do the hard reset to villainous Loki, you had him from the events of Avengers, the first Avengers film, and then that's the one that disappears. And so he could have gone right back to being that Loki, but instead he takes an even different journey than the Loki that we were accustomed to. And then something from the comics that's come up a few times, Ivan Soto, God of Stories happening for sure, ? Daniel Drew says God of Stories may be happening, but we don't know what kind of iteration it'll be. It is the interesting thing because obviously the, you know, the intellectual property is 50 some odd years old now, you know, I mean, how much Marvel there is. And you never really know what they're going to pick and choose. Sometimes they take stuff from the very recent past. Other times they're taking story points from the 60s. So I think there'll be a lot of mixing and matching. And I'm just excited to see. Well, I don't know anything about this, but Craig says, I hear the recent Loki trailer spoiled a lot at the end. Did anyone watch it? I did not. And I'll make sure not to now because I avoid late trailers like the plague. Yeah, I think that your best trailers for like finales of shows don't have any footage from the finale. It's more like, hey, remember all this cool stuff from the first, in this case, five episodes. You know, I think with Echo, we'll talk a little bit about that. And I will do what I usually do on this show where I will play the trailer without sound, hoping that we don't get struck by the YouTube gods. You run into that on your show. I know you do it on YouTube. Do you ever unthinkingly play something and just a few seconds of a song or something get in and you get the old YouTube strike? Does that happen?
I don't do it as much. I did host the show with some friends, and I can't remember what the gist of the show was, but I was running commercials, I think, you know, going around the horn, whatever the show was. Oh yeah. In the chat, they're like, you're gone. So like, we just chat for 2 minutes. They'd be like, you're back. And we're like, okay, we're back. And then I finally just pulled my phone up in front of me with YouTube so I could see when we were gone. Cause it just happened. Cause I was like, oh my God, this is literally stuff on YouTube that I'm playing.
David, do the Brooklyn Boys run a tight ship, or do you veer into that territory? So?
We work for corporate America. Our podcast is, of course, signed with Premier Radio Networks. And so we do not play. We play. If we play any music, we'll play about a second and a half and go, oh, that's all we can play. Oh, you're done.
There's
a limit on all you can play. Did you say you were going to play the Echo trailer with no sound?
Yes.
I think that's ironic because Echo's deaf. So
yes, I do it with every trailer. But in this case, I'm being sensitive to the character.
Right. But yes, very good. But can anyway, I comment on Ivan Soto real quick?
Sure. Ivan's got a lot of things, so I'm not sure which one. You want to tell me
the last one. I found it to be not fun at all.
Oh, the one that I brought up on the screen. He thought that our game wasn't fun.
Right. So his question was not fun at all. I'd like a fun, you know, aim higher, Ivan. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I see. That's what you're saying. This is not fun at all. Well,
yeah, we'll call back.
We've got more show this week. Don't worry. However, I'm just going to let everybody know we'll be back next week to talk about the finale of Loki, and we will look back as a whole. We'll try and maybe supersize that episode a little bit. We'll probably end up going a little bit more than an hour because we'll look at the season as a whole, but really just trying to summarize everything that will have happened in the season. But can't wait to see, in all honesty, where that show goes, you know, how it ends. if it ends, to Andy Smith's point, it might not actually end. But I want to spend a few minutes here on this Variety article, which asks the question, is Marvel in trouble? Which I think is it is a good question. I think it is an accurate point that you could make, that Marvel's in some degree of trouble. But even this article mentions that you have the tremendous success of Guardians of the Galaxy, financially, mm-hmm. critically, in every way that was a success. So, and there's something to be said when you have established characters and, you have recognizable actors and you have a good story, it all comes together. People want to see that movie. So I think that some of the misfires lately don't quite hit that mark, but I will ask each of you just the blatant question. What kind of trouble is Marvel in right now? I'll ask you first, Andy. They go into a number of things in this article, but we'll just take big picture and narrow it down a little bit.
I read the article. Of course, they mentioned Jonathan Majors and the legal trouble he's having. And regardless of how that shakes out, that's just the recasting. I don't even think that's a huge thing, because it's just like, just recast it. You recast it with a good actor. I think 10 minutes into whatever the new thing is with the new actor, as long as he's good, people will be like, whatever, no problem.
Terrence Howard.
Yeah. I mean, that article references the fact that they replaced Terrence Howard with Don Cheadle, which I can't believe Michael Shirley is missing this moment, because he always throws his hands up. He can't believe they did that to Terrence Howard. Some of us think, well, Don Cheadle's a better actor. It's like when they replaced Alec Baldwin for the next Jack Ryan movie with Harrison Ford. Nobody was like, but bring back Alec Baldwin. It's like, no, Harrison Ford's better. This is great.
So,
by the way, Christian, I wasn't referencing Terrence Howard for what they did to him. I was making a joke that they should bring Terrence Howard in.
There you go.
You know what? Everybody can always come back to the sandbox. Finish your thought, though, Andy. Sorry.
But no, so that's not a big deal. And in regards to the movies and stuff, Quantumania was okay. I wasn't in love with it. We talked about it. I think that's when we had you on. It was okay. I think they need to pump the brakes, slow down a bit. I don't know what it is with some of the writing. She-Hulk, I didn't think was that great.
David Brody, I think you also didn't like She-Hulk, right? I mean, I think you weren't.
I liked two episodes of it, maybe three. But the show was poorly written, goofy. Yep. And the fact that they moved episodes around, there was no continuity. The beginning episodes were supposed to be middle episodes. And then there was that awful wedding episode. And the villain, what was her name with the pink hair?
Titania
was just off. She was a caricature of a comic book character, which I don't think was possible. It was just terrible. The Daredevil stuff was great. The first episode with the Hulk was great. I mean, better. I won't say great. Yeah. The rest of it was a train wreck. It was like a CW show, but a bad one.
So to your point, though, Andy, it's very hit or miss, but mostly miss the last couple of years.
Honestly, they worked for 10 years to get to Endgame, and then ever since Endgame, not everything has been a letdown. But I would say the majority has been, honestly, after Endgame, and it just seems like they just got to that point and they didn't think past it. And I mean, I know they did, but it feels like they didn't. It feels like they were like, this is it. This is the culmination. Oh, we're done. Oh shit. Now what?
Well, I think you get to the point when your lower tier characters, in some cases, marginal characters, really catch on. Guardians of the Galaxy is a great franchise within this franchise. Right. And people love it. But when Guardians of the Galaxy works, then you start to think, well, maybe Eternals could work. And even in comics, I never loved the Eternals. It was too much. I don't really know what it was.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy, most people are like, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
Eternals, people are like, what? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
And the movie sucked.
Eternals was just bad. It was boring. Awful. It was slow. It was just, ugh.
Yeah.
And I think they need to focus more on marquee characters, which they still have a lot of. So when they announced like Eternals and you know the Kamala Khan Miss Marvel show and stuff like that, you're just like, you realize you have a huge catalog of characters that people actually know, right?
Yeah. Well, and let's talk about that. I'm going to pop off for a moment, but I'm going to let you guys talk about this, and you'll go first, David, but I'll be right back. One of the things mentioned in this article is that when they had their big Marvel executives retreat, they talked about, well, what if we brought back all of the original Avengers? So I want each of you to comment on that, and I'll be right
back. Sure. What do you think about that?
Well, I read an article that said, you know, if they fire Jonathan Majors, they need to go out of their way to make sure they get Robert Downey Jr. back. I think they're waiting for Secret Wars to bring back people, even if it's a different Thor, a different Iron Man from an alternate universe, right? Whatever. They may bring in a different Iron Man. I think what they did was they did a great job, like you said, leading up to Endgame, where you had the core Avengers who were all stars at that point. And then you killed Iron Man, spoiler. Captain America is as good as dead at the moment, being an old man. Black Widow was the least interesting, in my opinion, as far as she has no powers. And they gave her a move. They gave her a movie. Okay. You know, Hawkeye got a show. Again, not powerful, but it was fine. But Thor, they gave him a movie that had, it wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't building towards Endgame. It wasn't connected. There was nothing like, they were like, oh, this sets up the only thing it set up was Young Avengers. So did I watch a movie simply to just have a young girl with a hammer so that we can have Young Avengers? And Multiverse of Madness was a train wreck. They had such an opportunity to show Mr. Fantastic and they made Wanda into a demon. It's just not her character. So yeah, I think they don't need to bring them all back. I think if you somehow found a way to bring Tony Stark, you know, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, but if you're going to wait until the Secret Wars movie, you're 6 years away from saving the MCU. So I think they got to fix something now or have a Captain America movie that takes place in 1946. You know, when he went back in time and show him post Nazis what he did. But they got to do something because right now you've got Thor's sidekick on a TV show. Ant-Man, the least powerful Avenger next to Hawkeye and, you know, Black Widow, doesn't really do much. You showed that graphic. Everyone in that graphic that you showed from that article is like, meh. I think Colossus is in there.
There's no excitement behind the characters in that graphic.
Right. She-Hulk is a sidekick of Hulk, right? She's not even the Hulk. You got Captain America, but he's not the Captain America. He's Falcon with a shield. So you don't really have the main, and Ms. Marvel was a cute show, but you know, come on, who's running to the theater to see Ms. Marvel and Captain Marvel? And I don't know who's running to the theater to see Captain Marvel or Photon or whatever they're calling her. So they're in trouble because, you know,
I'll be there next week. I'm very excited.
I will too. I mean, who's running that isn't a Marvel geek?
Right. I see what you mean. Yeah, absolutely.
We're doing a podcast, but
here's a great example of that. You know, touch you on next week. So we got our tickets yesterday for the Marvels next week, right? We're seeing it in real 3D. Now it is at 4:00 PM. So this could have something to do with it. But when we got the tickets, there was only 2 seats taken so far.
Yeah.
So now there's 5 because it's my daughter, Dennis, and I going and those other 2 people. For a Marvel movie a week out, are you kidding me? So
yeah.
No, they're using secondary characters. And that kind of goes back to what I said before, which is, but you still have a lot of core characters out there that you could use, not the sidekicks being brought up.
And in a lot of the cases, they were getting ready to sort of roll over to new versions of the characters. I mean, the Hawkeye series was to set up Kate Bishop Hawkeye, a concept that worked in the comic books. And, you know, look, they were very smart because they waited for the actress they wanted to become available. And, you know, they had to wait an extra year to do that show. And they're like, that's all right. That's who we want to be that because that's somebody we can put in the movies. And I think that the idea that you're replacing so many of them, though. I mean, you know, Riri Williams is going to basically be Iron Man, you know, and I mean, you've done these things in comics, but you still had Tony Stark in the comics. It's very easy to have them in the comics or come back without having to, you know, the idea put forth in this Variety article is that if you get Robert Downey Jr. back, the, you know, for Iron Man 3, he got $25 million. So he doesn't, at least he says he doesn't want to come back. So you're going to have to give him more, you know, a lot more. So, but I think that they do need to manage their expectations. They haven't gone full stop on everything, but they definitely pumped the brakes on a lot of stuff. And look, the WGA and SAG-AFTRA strike has definitely given them an opportunity to slow down again, like the pandemic did, and realize, you know, in the case of the Daredevil show, I mean, they basically scrapped everybody, you know, they're bringing
showrunners. They fired everyone, I heard. You know, writing-wise, creative-wise, not the actors and stuff, but...
No, exactly. So I think that there is a problem, but Andy, you said it. I mean, if Jonathan Majors is the problem... I mean, this is a being of, you know, infinite power and multiple timelines. It's very easy to have him look different. You know, you can have him be the same person. You could have him look like somebody else entirely. You know, maybe Terrence Howard is the solution, David. Whoever it is, though, you bring somebody in and then it's like, oh, yeah, that other guy used to be in it. But you know why he wouldn't be in there, you know, like when an actor passes away and you have to recast it. It happens, you know?
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah. So I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, where they go. I think that they're trying to have a realistic outlook on the Marvels. The article references and articles always reference when a movie has reshoots. You know, every movie has reshoots, you know, and a lot of times the reshoots make the movie better. They don't usually, you know, make a total disaster into a partial disaster. A lot of times it's like, oh, that didn't make sense. Oh, let's change the story. You know, this will work better. You know, there's a lot of reasons to do reshoots. So I'm looking forward to talking about that movie after we see it, which, you know, next Friday will be a very busy day here for this show on Geekscape, because we'll be wrapping up all of season 2 of Loki. And then that night we'll have our special first reaction to the Marvels, like we always try to do. But before we go, I do want to take a moment to talk about the fact that we're getting Echo. Interestingly, and you know, this was something that Ivan Soto commented on in the chat, that it's TVMA, but it's, you know, I mean, those the Netflix shows, I believe, were TVMA. It's a little bit of a grittier part of the MCU. It's going to have a Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, in it. So I think that, you know, that's really what it is. And I think it's okay to tell those stories. You know, I'm just not going to show it to my kids. You know, it's fine. So I don't know. And the trailer did release today. And it'll be in January that we're going to get this. And, you know, we got to meet the character of Echo. Obviously, she exists in the comics, but for our audio audience, we're getting to see the white-suited kingpin of crime, Wilson Fisk, throwing people around in an alley. It's pretty much exactly what we want. It's also exactly why it's TVMA. And, you know, I don't know that I was ever, you know, super, like, excited for this show, but I was intrigued by it because it's a character that I don't know. I think, you know, she's fairly interesting character. It will premiere January 10th simultaneously on Disney Plus and Hulu. And then there's 5 episodes of Echo and they will all be there at once. And I'm not going to lie, that is the biggest indication that they don't have a lot of faith or expectations in this.
I was going to say they're dumping all 5 at once so you can binge it. That really I really think that shows they don't have a lot of faith.
Yeah,
in this, because they would want people to hold out every week.
Well, the whole streaming subscription model is built on the fact of keeping people subscribed as long as possible. So all of these shows, whether it's Marvel, Star Wars, or, you know, on other streamers, the other shows, but for Disney Plus in particular, it's like, yeah, we're going to stretch it out over as many weeks as possible to keep you subscribed. But yeah, you know, look, I'm interested in this. I mean, I love Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin. Yeah. That was one of the best things that came out of the Netflix shows. That and John Bernthal as the Punisher, you know, both from Daredevil. Charlie Cox as Daredevil, also great. So, I'm very intrigued to see what this is going to be, what the show is. Andy, what's your familiarity with the Echo character, and what are your thoughts as we get closer to the show actually coming out?
Familiarity goes to just the TV show.
Sure.
That she was in. That's the first time I heard of her.
Same for me, by the way. Yeah.
I didn't mind her when they said they were doing a show. I was really, you know, I was really surprised. I'm like, so you're taking another character that nobody's really ever heard of, and you're going to pump money into a show when, once again, you could take a character people have heard of. Now, I knew nothing about it. So, like, the whole Kingpin, I had no idea he was in it.
Yeah.
Now I'm actually pumped to see it because, like you, I think Vincent D'Onofrio just owns that character and is just physically the way they have him, you know, the white suit, his build, everything, he's perfect. So now I actually want to watch it. So they've got me just because of the Kingpin being in it.
Right. And I think that they know that that's what the best asset is for that, you know? And yeah. I believe the actress's name is Alakwa Cox. She is also a deaf actress, which I think will bring some, you know, genuine portrayal mm-hmm. to the character and, you know, finding out more about her. I was definitely intrigued by her. And seeing Wilson Fisk in the white suit in this is definitely something that lets me get excited about it because he was like wearing a Hawaiian shirt in Hawkeye. Yeah. Your thoughts on this series that'll be premiering on January 10th, David?
Well, much like Andy, I had never heard of Echo before. Granted, I stopped collecting comics at some point in my life, so maybe she became a thing after I stopped, but I didn't care about her. I didn't think she was that great in Hawkeye. I'm excited because of Kingpin and because of Daredevil, who, by the way, did fly by in that trailer for a split second. Yeah, he was on his back being thrown. Yeah. And it's obviously a direct continuation of Hawkeye because Wilson Fisk has the shot out eyeball like he did mm-hmm. in the comics. Here's what I'm thinking, though. If you've got Wilson Fisk as Kingpin, which is a home run, right? And you've got Daredevil, which is a home run, and you still drop all five episodes at the same time, this is this thing's a train wreck. If those two can't save it, right? So,
well, I'm looking forward. What,
maybe in one episode. I mean, is he supposed to be more than one?
Probably not. I mean, now that I know there's only five, I can't imagine he's in more than one. You know,
maybe he's got a cameo, and then the next one he's in like a bunch of it. That's fair. I imagine they're gonna get a little teaser. And then he'll be in an episode, but they're going to focus on Echo, which, okay, great. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
I mean, it's just another, it's like, you know, real quick, it's like Moon Knight. I thought they totally dropped the ball on Moon Knight. So anyhow, that's it.
No, Moon Knight was, listen, I love Moon Knight when he was three people, but he pretended to be Jake Lockley and Mark Spector. And then they changed his character. And then this thing was all over the map. They made him British. And then I mean, it was an acting tour de force, but that's not why I tune into a Marvel show. I want to see action. I want to see Moon Knight on a rooftop beating up bad guys in an alleyway. I want to see him as close to Batman like he used to be. That's what I want to see. I don't care about the, you know, the Khonshu and the, it was all interesting, but move on.
That's not what most people expect.
Right. Yeah, there was a mix because like every episode of Moon Knight had stuff that I liked, had great sequences. But in general, I agree. I do think you're right, though. Oscar Isaac was phenomenal in it, playing the different characters and all that. But it was definitely a bit of a misfire, as it were.
He was barely Moon Knight.
We can be optimistic and hopeful for Echo. We'll see what it is that we get from it. But of course, sooner than that, we will see what we're getting out of the season 2 finale of Loki, which, as I mentioned, we will be covering right here on Geekscape next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And don't forget, we will also have our first of several Marvel's reaction shows next Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern as well. So you'll get both of those. But if you want to keep in touch with Andy and David. Andy, tell people where they can do that.
Oh, Andy Smith Art for Twitter, Instagram, pretty much Facebook, YouTube, Andy Smith Comic Book Artist, and andysmithart.com if you want to see the comic book work that I do and the creator-owned stuff I do now. So,
and David Brody, where can people find you and the Brooklyn Boys podcast?
Well, if you don't mind me just interjecting for a moment, I Googled Andy while we were doing the podcast. I looked down. Andy's got quite the comic book resume, my friend.
Yeah.
Very impressive. So there you go. Also, if I could correct myself, when you had the graphic of the artwork of the magazine, it was very small, and it went by quickly, and I made a comment that Colossus was there, but I had looked at the arm only. It's Winter Soldier, so hold your angry tweets, everybody.
Yeah, we'll get to Colossus. Don't worry. Okay,
yeah, absolutely. So you could find a Brooklyn Boys podcast. It's a two-man show. My partner and I talk about stupid shit, and we try to make it funny. on every platform imaginable for your podcasts, and you can find me on social media at David Brody, Brody.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Christian DMZ. Don't forget to subscribe right here to Geekscape to see that. I do have to run because over on my other channel, The Blackcast, this second we're about to start a show reviewing the new Scorsese film, Killers of the Flower Moon. Our show will be shorter than the movie. Don't worry, we will not have a 3-hour, 26-minute runtime. I'll be joined by Vinny Paulino, Liam McEnany, and my buddy Bill Narducci. So please find us right over there, right now on the Blackcast, Bladtcast. But that is all the time we have for now. As the great Stan Lee would say, Excelsior!
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.